Good morning. This morning's reading is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Good morning, everyone. Happy Easter. Lovely to see you all. Let's keep that chapter open and we'll pray. Father, we thank you for the victory of Christ. Thank you that death and hell and Satan himself are defeated, and that we stand on victory ground this morning. Thank you for our forgiveness. Thank you for our relationship with you. Thank you for the hope of heaven. Now, Father, we pray that you will send your Holy Spirit, that same Spirit who inspired the Scriptures will speak to our hearts and our minds now and reveal the risen Christ to us, in whose name we pray. Amen. Can you believe in the resurrection? Did Jesus really come back to life? If this is true, that Jesus rose again from the dead, we can believe everything in the Bible. If the resurrection is true, Christians are saved from hell for heaven. If the resurrection is not true, the Bible says our faith is pointless and we are most to be pitied of all men. Is it true? Matthew wrote his gospel to argue that these things are true. The apostles all took the same view. They were prepared to die rather than deny that they'd met with the risen Jesus Christ. Remember the big picture. Jesus is God. Chapter 1, verses 21 to 23. He is Emmanuel, God with us. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." So that's Jesus' identity. God. God with us. Death cannot hold him because he's God. He's the Lord of life and death, of heaven and earth, of heaven and hell, just as we see him as the Lord of nature, stilling the storm or healing the sick throughout the gospel. Just before the resurrection of Jesus, all is lost, apparently. There's the death of Jesus in chapter 27, verses 45 to 56. But now Matthew is going to teach us all is not lost. Death is the loser. Christ is the victor. 28:18. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And now Jesus shares this victory, this authority, with his people. I've got two headings on your sheet. the historical evidence and the reliable evangelists. Firstly, the historical evidence. Now, the first question is, did Jesus really die? Well, Roman crucifixion never failed. Sometimes people argue that Jesus was flogged and crucified and 3 days later just got up and walked away as if nothing had happened. Clearly absurd. No, he really did die. He really was buried. Chapter 27, verses 59 and 60. He was buried in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, and Joseph took the body and placed it in his own new tomb. Verse 60, he rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb. Verse 62, the chief priests ensure that nobody steals the body. Notice it was on the Sabbath, the day after preparation day. That's the Sabbath. So these men, who could be so legalistic about what the law did and did not permit when it suited their own purpose, were quite willing to do business, evil business, on the Sabbath. So they go to Pilate, verse 63. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise again. Therefore they persuade Pilate to make the tomb secure, lest his disciples go and steal the body and pretend he rose from the dead. So, verse 66, a guard of Roman soldiers is placed over the tomb. Notice chapter 28, verse 11 to 15, the guards are bought off with money so that they will not tell anyone that they saw Jesus Christ rise from the dead. Chapter 28, verse 13. You're to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. So there's no way this was a conjuring trick with bones, in the words of the former Bishop of Durham. Jesus really did die. He really was buried. There was a huge stone rolled over the entrance to the tomb. The tomb was guarded by a Roman guard. There's no way the disciples stole the body. There's so much more evidence for the resurrection outside Matthew's gospel. Think of the transformation of the disciples. They all ran away when Jesus was arrested. They cowered together following his death. And yet, after their encounter with the risen Jesus, they preach like lions. They've no concern for their own safety. Nearly all of them are martyred rather than deny that they've seen the risen Christ. And what about the birth of the church? These previously cowardly individuals preach the gospel and thousands are converted. The Jewish authorities are appalled. And all they had to do, if they wanted to stop the Jesus movement, was produce a body. And they can't do it. He is not there. He is risen. Secondly, reliable evangelists. Chapter 28, verse 1. The next day, this is Sunday morning, the two Marys, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. We don't know exactly which one he means. If you look up to chapter 27, verse 56, Matthew pairs Mary Magdalene with Mary, the mother of James and Joses. The other evangelists mention other women who all came to anoint Jesus' body with spices. This was a tribute to the dead person, rather like when we all bring flowers to a funeral. But the point I want you to notice is this. In Jewish law, a woman's testimony was not considered credible evidence. If Matthew was lying, he wouldn't choose two women to be the witnesses of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Therefore, his account has the ring of truth, don't you think? You wouldn't tell it this way if you were making it up. So look what the women see, chapter 28, verse 1. They go to the tomb on the Sunday morning. Verse 2, there's a great earthquake. An angel of the Lord descends from heaven, rolls back the stone, and sits on it. This parallels the earthquake in chapter 27, verse 51, when Jesus dies. In other words, God demonstrates the truth and significance of these events, the relevance of these events to the entire cosmos, by literally shaking the earth. These are earth-shattering events. The whole earth is affected. The whole earth is being liberated from the tyranny of sin and suffering. The whole earth is included in the salvation Jesus has achieved. So, verse 2, an angel rolls back the stone, sits on it. Could only have been a supernatural event. Remember the size of the stone. Remember the Roman guards. Verse 3, look at his cosmic appearance, like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. Verse 4, the guards are terrified of him. They fall down like dead men. Notice, angels in the Bible are presented as masculine. His appearance was like lightning. Angels are messengers and warriors, not pretty little girls, like in our nativity plays. Verse 5, the angel speaks. Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. I bet they needed to hear those words. Do not be afraid. If the Roman soldiers fell down like dead men, I bet the two Marys felt a bit faint. Perhaps we shouldn't assume that. Perhaps the women were braver than the men. Anyway, verse 6, the angel says, he is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, past tense. He's not there anymore. And so, verse 7, the two Marys become the first evangelists, the first preachers of the gospel. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So, these two women are commissioned by God to proclaim the resurrection. Verse 8, they depart quickly from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy. That's interesting. Fear and great joy. What were they afraid of? After all, Jesus is alive. Everything is going to be okay. What are they afraid of? Perhaps they were afraid of the disciples' reaction. Unlikely. They're afraid of God, I think. Not in some cringing sense. They're in awe of God. The Bible always presents God as to be feared. He's an awesome God. There is no one like him. And when you get near him, when you experience him, you're left feeling Wow. I'm in awe. I'm a little bit terrified. God is to be feared for his mighty acts. Supremely, his raising of Jesus from the dead. And he also fills you with joy, like no other. There is no joy like the joy of sins forgiven. There is no joy like the joy of peace with God. There is no joy like the joy of resurrection. And this is how the two Marys feel, afraid and joyful. And they run off to tell the disciples. And before they get very far, verse 9, they meet the risen Lord. Greetings, he says. What a moment. What do? They come to him. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Well, you would, wouldn't you? Tells us something about worship, that, doesn't it? Falling down on your face before Jesus, lying at his feet. We can be terribly polite, can't we? What about worshipping face down from time to time? What about really humbling ourselves before God? Verse 10, Jesus reaffirms their commission to be the first evangelists. Do not be afraid. That's interesting. The natural way to feel when you encounter the power of God is fear. And yet, such is the love of the Savior. He always says, do not be afraid. It's the same in the book of Revelation. When John falls down as though dead, what does Jesus say? Do not be afraid. So both the angels and Jesus commission these two women to be the first evangelists. Just in passing, I believe in male headship. It's in the Bible. But the very fact that women are privileged with this first act of gospel proclamation must affect the way we view women's ministry. They clearly have a ministry in the Bible. So we've had historical evidence and these reliable evangelists. Question is, do you believe Jesus rose from the dead? The evidence is compelling. There really is a solid hope that Jesus has defeated death, and therefore you and I can live forever in heaven with God. Are you trusting him? Is Jesus your Savior? Have you asked him to give you eternal life? Have you asked him to save you from hell for heaven? If he is your Savior this morning, rejoice in the resurrection. Be strengthened in your faith. Christ is alive. You will live and reign with him forever and ever. If he's not your Savior, come to him today. Ask him to forgive your sins. Ask him to give you life in heaven forever. Let's pray. Moment of silence then, for you to talk to God. Maybe you just want to worship him, that Christ has died and Christ is risen and Christ will come again. Maybe you want to say to him right now, I'm sorry for my sins. Please save me from hell for eternal life in heaven. You speak to him now. Father, please would no one leave here this morning without knowing that their sins are forgiven and that they have eternal life. And Father, please make us like these Marys. Make us reliable evangelists who will tell the world that Jesus is alive. Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit and enable us when we go home to tell those at home who don't know you that Jesus died for them. Help us to go to our neighbours. Help us to go to our friends. Help us to go to our colleagues with this tremendous good news. In Jesus' name, Amen.